We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue and discussion each and every day as we face the issues. Let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do not base our position or the issue on a denominational dogma or some political rhetoric or politician's position, but we base it on the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. It's the truth book. We'll be talking about an issue today that I believe is should be on the hearts and the minds of each and every conservative, Christian, and patriot in America. We're calling it Countdown to Inauguration. What have we got, some 10, 12 days before Inauguration Day? Listen to me carefully. A lot of things can happen in the next 10, 12 days. We still need to maintain prayer and vigilance, that God would give wisdom, protection, and preservation for Donald J. Trump. Yes, we're still rejoicing the intervention of God in the election. But yesterday, ladies and gentlemen, we watched, as Kamala Harris, cackling Kamala, had to preside over the House of Representatives with no dissenting vote to confirm the Electoral College vote of 312 for Donald J. Trump for his election certification. I find it fascinating. I'm told by one writer of one article that this is the first time this has happened in, I think it was someone said some 60, 70, 80 years that there was no dissent. Now, I believe only God's invention could cause that, could do that. It was fascinating to watch Kamala Harris as she had to recognize the number of votes and preside over the confirmation of his certification for the election. We're going to talk about that briefly, simply as an introduction to where we're going. But we talk about the countdown to inauguration. We're going to talk about today in this issues-oriented broadcast. We'll talk about what President Trump is going to do. I'm told that he has about 250 executive orders ready to be signed. I'm told that it will take almost all day of his first day in office to sign that whole sheaf of presidential executive orders. But ladies and gentlemen, even though President Trump has not been inaugurated yet, we're witnessing national and international ripples as a result of his election. We're witnessing things taking place today without there being a need of an executive order or a law being passed to make it happen. We're going to talk about that today. And the bottom line is, I'm going to ask you to call in today. I'm going to ask you to tell our listening audience what you think should be the top 10 executive orders. What would you call the priority executive order? What do you think should be his number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10? What, out of about 250 he's planning on signing, what should be the top 10 in your mind for the United States of America? That's the focus. That's where we're going as we look at the issues today. And let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, shortly after my brief monologue, we're going to open our telephone lines, allow you to call in and respond to your questions, comments, dialogue, and discussion as we talk about Countdown to Inauguration. That telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. But let me remind you again, it's the truth book, the B-I-B-L-E, as it used to be called back in the day that you had Bible studies in Sunday school and vacation Bible school for the kids in our churches. Jesus, speaking to his disciples in John 8:31-32, said, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." It's the truth of the Word of God that sets us free. Listen, if all that we see in the world local, state, national, international. If we look at it through the prism of the Word of God, it'll make a vast difference on how we view things that's taking place in our nation. John 17:17, the scripture says, thy word is truth. John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth. And in Psalms 117, verse 2, the Bible says, the truth of the Lord endures forever. That's a pretty lengthy period of time, forever. How long is forever? It's forever. Ladies and gentlemen, it was the secularist George Orwell that said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. That's speaking the truth. Truth matters regardless of what side of the aisle you're on. Truth matters regardless of what portion of the nation you live in. Truth matters regardless of what ethnicity, background, economic standard you have. It was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint that said the America's decline is linked to the death of truth. DeMint said this in part, what we believe about truth does not change what is true. What we believe about reality does not change what is real. There's no greater example of arrogance and self-worship than to assume whatever we believe is true and real, yet that is precisely the prevailing view in America today, even in our Christian churches. And ladies and gentlemen, the sad thing is most of the millennials, 55% of them, say that there's no such thing as absolute truth. In fact, the millennial 18 to 35 year old age group, their position is that each person determines their own version of truth. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. That's my position. That's my challenge each and every day on this broadcast. You've heard me say a million times, a half-truth is a whole lie. We need to stand for truth, even in the face of death. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment with homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old San Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old San Augustine Road. There's a benchmark, an identifier. On the campus of Tools for Time, there's a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole flows Old Glory, the U.S. flag 24/7. Find that flag in the flagpole, and at the base of that flagpole, ladies and gentlemen, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. I believe we have Kenneth on the line. Kenneth, go with your question or comment, please.
Good morning, Dr. Youngblood.
Good morning, good morning. I pray that you're well.
And I pray that you are also.
Amen.
Amen. I appreciate the program. You know what? We are in a conundrum because what Crazy Joe did, you know, what he is doing right now, and it's not him, it's puppet masters. And Obama is one of the main ones, George Soros, Bill Gates, all of them, they are trying to put a trap on him so he would have a heck of a time. And I pray to God that our universities will at least look at these professors, called professors, that are trying to bring in Marxism, and it is sad. It is sad. They're trying to turn down what God built up. And they're supposed to be our next leaders. It's a sad thing.
Kenneth, brother, you're exactly right. One of the things we see Joe Biden doing in a feverishly, major way is to undermine, set the trap, as you called it, rightly speaking, build a house of cards so that when Trump is inaugurated, the very things that Trump wants to accomplish, he's got to go through, if you please, undoing the doings of Joe Biden today. For example, he has signed executive orders to prevent drilling in most of the places where you drill oil and gas for the production of fuel, because Trump has said he's going to make us free, if you please, where we not only produce enough fuel, oil and gas for America, but for exportation also. Joe Biden is trying to prevent that. Joe Biden is, as you use the term, rightly so, setting the trap. But listen, I'm thankful that God is still on the throne, that God is still in a position to control some of these things. And it's my prayer that when Donald Trump goes in office, and I understand several articles I've read that he has some 250 executive orders ready to be signed in that first day, he will simply be signing executive orders. So my question is today, and I'll ask you directly that question, what do you think some of the top 10, not, you might not name 10, but top 1, 2, 3 of the top, out of the top 10, out of the 250 executive orders, what ought to be some of the top executive orders that right out of the chute, they're primary, they're not secondary, they're primary that needs to be signed into an executive law order?
To me, number one, like you said, the illegals got to go. They have to go. Because number one, you didn't come into this country. Aliens can come in, but come in straight.
Come in through the front door, as is historically said, not the back door.
Right. And he set that up. I'm going to tell you, to be honest with you, okay, when Benjamin Netanyahu came over here, he sent us through the back door. They went out through the front door. He and his family went out through the front door. When the Muslim Brotherhood came over, he greeted them with kisses at the front door and spent, I think, like 3 hours with them. He spent 30 minutes, I believe, with Israel's leader, and telling them, do not give them nuclear power.
Absolutely. Well, one of the things we see that's going to take place, Kenneth, I believe we're going to need to continue to pray, because as I understand it, and it's not been publicized yet, but Joe Biden, I understand, is going to make a request to the United Nations that Israel be declared basically in error, and charges against the nation of Israel and Benjamin Netanyahu. Don't know exactly how that wording is going to be, but that's what he is in the position of planning and carrying out even now. So, Kenneth, it deserves our prayer. It deserves our continual vigilance and the recognition that we're in. Even though it went through, how would you say, very quietly, with not a dissent on the floor of that U.S. House of Representatives, with Kamala Harris carrying out the leadership role for the certification of Trump for the election. I find it fascinating that not one dissent breath came out of the Democrats on the floor. So that tells me another shoe is going to drop someplace, because they're not going to give up on their plans to try to prevent Trump from being inaugurated on January the 20th. But it deserves our prayer, continual vigilance, and continue to look to God. Go right ahead. Yes, quickly. Go ahead.
Okay. Look here. New York is still going after him. All these other charges have been dropped because they were phony. They were phony and fake. And there's New York is still trying to go after him. And it's just sad. It's sad.
Well, Judge Mashaun is going to find out that his Judge Mashaun, which is the tip of the spear for the Democratic Socialist Marxist Party, and he's going to find that his ploy is not going to work. But he's demanding that Trump be in the courthouse, can't have his attorneys represent him. the judge is demanding that he, Donald J. Trump, sit in that courthouse, that courtroom, on January the 10th. That's just a couple of days from now, January the 10th. And it's amazing that that is taking place, even when the U.S. Supreme Court has said that it falls, that case falls under the immunity rights of a president, and yet the judge is refusing to turn it loose. I'm going to talk about that further in just a moment. But, Kenneth, thank you so much for your call. God bless you.
Thank you.
Keep looking up. Our redemption draweth nigh. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. If you've tried to get through and the lines were tied up or the lines were already filled, call back. That telephone number is 904-831-0917. Looking to hear from you today. We're talking about countdown to inauguration. Kenneth just touched on the fact that the judge is not turning, wanting to turn that case loose, wanting to hang on to it and continue to look at it as something that must be tried, if you please. I'm looking at this article, ladies and gentlemen. It goes back to the silence in the confirmation, the certification of Trump's election. Democrats' conspiracies to void Trump's presidency collapse. A joint session of Congress on Monday adopted the Electoral College landslide victory of President-elect Donald J. Trump, who is to be inaugurated on January the 20th. The vote was 312 for Trump, 226 for Kamala Harris, and there wasn't even a whisper of protest from the Democrats, who routinely have objected in the past years to the GOP vote counts. Even more significant, however, was the complete silence from multiple Democrats who have complained publicly that it was up to Congress to stop Trump from becoming president. In fact, Representative Jamie Raskin, Democrat of California, has insisted on that. The quick and routine vote adoption was in contrast to the chaos for 4 years earlier, when some 1,500 people doubting the integrity of the election of 2020. Since then, hundreds were charged or jailed, some for counts of serious as trespassing. Trump has promised to pardon many of those when he takes office, and critics of the Democrat lawfare agenda against Trump over the 4 years have been called for investigations of and criminal charges against those who led the lawfare. Democrats to take the stand against Trump has failed at this point. They base their demand on the assumption that Trump is guilty of insurrection. Ladies and gentlemen, we witnessed one of the major house of cards that the Democrats had built up over the past several years, that Trump was a convicted felon. I think they're still going to try to play that card. That's the reason the judge is demanding that Trump come to the courthouse room when he is to be sentenced for 34 counts of felony that were fictitious, phony, as our previous caller said, phony, false, fictitious charges. And yet the judge is demanding that Trump be in the courthouse. Ladies and gentlemen, two or three things comes to my mind. What great danger will Trump be in doing that? Will he be in danger when the world knows where he will be in that courthouse building on that particular day, at that particular time? How can there be enough Secret Service agents, FBI, CIA, whatever it may be, guarding the entire city of New York to make sure that Trump is safe and not in danger? I think it's a grave danger. I think it's a grave mistake. I think there's a serious error in that. I'm looking at a headline, ladies and gentlemen, says Trump judge accuses Trump and his DOJ, Trump's DOJ, picks, that is the one that Trump has picked for the DOJ, of dangerous and chilling rhetoric in the New York case. Let me read two or three brief paragraphs. Judge Juan Merchan accused two of President Trump's, Donald Trump's picks for the Department of Justice of engaging in dangerous and chilling rhetoric in the New York criminal case. Trump was represented by attorneys Todd Blanche and Emil Boeuf in the case, where he was found guilty of 34 counts of falsifying business records. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, that's never happened in previous history in the city of New York. But they charged him with that, 34 counts of falsifying business records. President Trump will continue fighting against those hoaxes until they're all dead. In November, President Trump nominated Blanche, that's B-L-A-N-C-H-E, as his incoming Deputy Attorney General, and Bove, that's B-O-V-E, Bove, as his principal associate Deputy Attorney General. The judge issued a Friday ruling announcing that Trump would face sentencing on January the 10th, just days before his inauguration. Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg's office requested that the case be put on ice until after completion of Trump's presidency. The judge stated in Friday's decision that sentencing Trump after his term would be less desirable than imposing a sentence prior to January the 20th. Further in the article, it says, the judge cited the defense's attempt to dismiss the case by accusing Bragg's prosecuting and the court of engaging in unlawful and unconstitutional conduct. That's exactly what they've done for 4 years. In fact, it's been going on for about 10 years total against Trump since he came down that golden elevator in Trump Tower and announced his run for the presidency in late 2015 and 2016. This article says, those words by definition means criminally punishable. The judge is threatening the Donald J. Trump's appointees for the position of DOJ by saying that it is something that is threatening to the judicial system. Ladies and gentlemen, I find that it is fascinating, sad, that the judge would want to sentence Donald J. Trump 10 days before his inauguration. Now, listen very carefully. I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but I believe there's a motive to the judge's madness. Why does he want Trump in the courtroom for him to point his bony finger at and pass sentence? Is it because it will give fresh new fodder for the Democrats to try to prevent Trump from being seated, being sworn in, inaugurated as the 47th president? I believe that's part of it. But here we are, ladies and gentlemen, just 12, 13 days from his inauguration, and this is taking place. Ladies and gentlemen, since Trump's overwhelming victory on November the 5th, we've witnessed, listen, earthquakes, tremors across the nation and around the world. Listen, Trump is not president right now, but just because of his election, the impact of his name is making a difference around the globe. Justin Trudeau, the dictator, prime minister in Canada, just resigned, stepped down. He won't serve in the parliament. He won't serve as prime minister. He stepped down. President Trump has basically publicly embarrassed him. And ladies and gentlemen, even in Canada today, I think the number's like about 16% of the Canadians that want Trudeau as their leader. And yet, I understand the numbers are about 62 to 67% of Canadians that would love to have Canada as a 51st state in the United States of America. And that's something that Trump brought out and made mention of just in kind of a laughable fashion. But it's gained traction, and there's some that would like to see that take place in for the nation of Canada. I believe the thought of President Trump's power and authority for right in America is making a difference around the globe even today. Ladies and gentlemen, we've witnessed Mark Zuckerberg go groveling at the feet of Trump in Mar-a-Lago, going to give $1 million to the Trump transition team. Now, true, yes, we understand he's trying to buy favor. Yeah, he's trying to kiss up to the president, as some would call it, to try to prevent President Trump from doing what he has said he would do. Listen, President Trump has said that on day one, he's going to stop censorship in America. All of the social media platforms recognize what he's saying. All of the platforms' owners are wanting to go to Mar-a-Lago or in some fashion meet with Trump and offer $1 million in his transition team's funding. Why is that so? Facebook, for example, has all of a sudden decided that they're not going to do fact-checking. They're not going to have censorship. I'm looking at a headline that tells it all. It's about a five-page document. I'm going to read about three paragraphs, but the headline says this. Meta, that's M-E-T-A, that's the parent company now of Facebook. Meta ends fact-checking. Fact-checking program is Zuckerberg vows to restore free expression on Facebook and Instagram. Let me just read. This is Dateline January the 7th, 25. Meta is ending its fact-checking program and lifting all restrictions on speech to restore free expression across Facebook, Instagram, and the Meta, all of the Meta platforms, admitting its current content moderation program practices have gone too far. Now, I'm going to stop there for a moment. Why would Mark Zuckerberg all of a sudden come out of the shadows and admit that what they've been doing has been simply censorship? Fact-checking. It's a term for censorship. This is what Zuckerberg says. Let me read it. We're going to get back to our roots and focus on reducing mistakes, simplifying our policies, restoring free speech to all of our platforms, end quote. Open quote again. More specifically, we're going to get rid of all fact checkers, replacing them with community notes similar to Twitter, now known as X, starting in the United States. The Meta Chief Globalist Affairs Officer said this is a great opportunity for us to restart the balance in favor of free expression. As Mark says in his video, that we're getting back to our roots and the free expression. Meta's third-party fact-checking programs were put in place after 2016 election and has been used to manage content and misinformation on its platforms, largely due to political pressure out of the Biden administration. The executive said, but admitted the system has gone too far, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a five-page article. It goes into detail of what Facebook has been doing. It's been total censorship. And prior to Elon Musk buying Twitter, now calling it X, Twitter was doing the same thing. In fact, President Trump was tossed off Twitter, and Facebook, and other platforms when he was president after he was elected in 2016. This is the reason all of a sudden these owners, managerial tycoons that's in charge of these organizations, that's been filtering your speech and my speech, that's been listening to and moderating and modifying our text, our emails, our telephone calls, our social media platform statements. In fact, during this past 4 years with the Biden administration, according to a deep dive into the research on that subject, the Biden administration, through its DOJ and through its other, if you please, left-winged giants in the administration, put pressure on all of the social media to prevent you and to prevent me and to prevent other conservatives and Christians from having an open space with the freedom of speech. So, ladies and gentlemen, President Trump said he's going to end all of that when he's sworn in. So if you want to look at a primary number one, my number one desire, I would love to see as the number one priority executive order to go forth to stop all censorship of free speech on all platforms of social media in America. And I believe that's one of the things that will be in the top 10 of the 250 executive orders that President Trump will sign. And I believe that's necessary if we as Christians are going to have the expectation of the freedom of speech as we're guaranteed in our Bill of Rights. A Bill of Rights guarantees the freedom of speech and the religious liberties in America. Those freedoms have been curtailed. They've been modified to the point where, in fact, I'll just say this. Generally speaking, I look at 100, 150 emails and articles a day. If I try to send forward one, for the most part, it had intensified to the point where if I'd send out 10, 8 out of 10 would be blocked, would be prevented from going forward are being transferred. Many may look at that and say, well, there's a problem with the phone company. There's a problem with your carriers. No, it's not. It's a problem with the fact that these media giants and gurus have been censoring what you could say and what I could say. And as a result of that, it is my opinion that top 10, out of the top 10, one of those that President Trump needs to sign by executive order is to restore our religious liberties and freedom of speech. No censorship whatsoever. No censorship. Ladies and gentlemen, it's very important for us to understand. We're going to talk about further a biblical nexus with what we see taking place in just a moment. But hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological